Frothies, if you're listening to this, there's one thing you need to do this weekend.
Yeah, it's just get a bloke down your throat. It's as simple as that. It's get to the Caxton and get a bloke down your throat.
We've just had word from the High Court of Australia. They've actually enforced a brand new law, basically stating that it's illegal for anyone who listens to this podcast to not get a bloke down their throat during Magic Round. So do with that information what you will.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to be locked up with some questionable individuals across the place, then get a bloke down your throat or else you're going to be absolutely fucked.
It's a simple solution. We don't make the rules. We just enforce them.
If you thought my ass was bad, well, wait till you get in jail and bend over for the soap. To avoid that, get a bloke down your throat.
So go to blokeinabar.com and enter your postcode into the store locator and find where you can get some today.
Yep.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
Yes, it is. Darcy, I'm going to throw some things at you.
Okay.
Star Wars.
Sure.
Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
The Hobbit.
All things you enjoy.
Star Trek.
Not sure if you're a fan of that or not.
They're great journeys.
They are great journeys. They're
big journeys.
Yep.
We're about to embark on another one that's about to go with them.
In the history books.
In the history. It's Magic Round.
It is Magic Round. 2024.
It is. Now, all great journeys need to be fueled by something.
Fueled.
You know what we're going to be fueled by?
What are we going to be fueled by?
Domino's Pizza, specifically the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before, but I'm actually genuinely not joking. When I talk about Klutzy being obsessed with the Philly cheesesteak pizza, the bloke would not fucking shut up about it when we tried it.
Exactly. Look, I know that this weekend is going to be an absolute journey.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know the only way I'm going to get through it is if I'm fueled correctly.
Yeah, smart so man. You're an athlete.
Yeah, exactly, an athlete. And my athletic choice is going to be Domino's Pizza, specifically the Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Yeah.
It will be fueling me through Magic Round right to the bitter end.
And if you want to get fueled right to the bitter end, we recommend using the discount codes that are listed on our Instagram and in our Facebook group. The one we're bringing to you this week is BBB3DL, which will get you three pizzas and three sides delivered from $33.
Look, that is just perfect for your Magic Round.
That's like a pizza and a side for $11.
Wow.
Delivered.
Delivered.
That's obscene value.
It's basically making money.
Yep, it's magic.
Once again.
It's magic.
It is magic. Boom, it appears.
Yep, boom.
That's how good the delivery service is.
So make it appear this bloody weekend. Get some Domino's. And thank you to the guys for supporting the podcast.
Bloody brilliant. Beers.
Bloody Brilliant Sport.
And welcome back to the Bloody Brilliant Beers podcast brought to you by Blue Bet.
That's Klutz. I'm Darcy. We are the Bloody Brilliant Beers. We started out reviewing craft beers on Facebook and now we bring you the conversations you'd more than likely hear from the front bar at your local. It's great to be here, Josh, but where are we, mate?
Mate, we're at the Caxton Hotel on a lovely Wednesday evening.
We are.
It is, fuck, it's good up here.
It is good
up here. I love this state.
I love this city. I love this pub. We're joined this week by our good friend Jack Cronin. Back on the couch, mate. How are ya? Oh, fuck, that mic's not plugged in again. Hold on.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, oh, as I was saying, grateful to be back on the couch. I'll never take it for granted again.
I was just about to say to Josh, I think I'm finally over my concussion because I didn't have to think about what button to press.
But we're back.
Stuff like that keeps happening to me where I'm like, am I right? Am I not right?
Yeah,
I guess we'll never know.
We'll get into more of the fights and stuff shortly, but there's a couple of occasions this weekend where Darcy's forgotten something and I've also had to go,
yeah.
Is this a result of concussion
or
Is this just Darcy? The Darcy Gannon that we've known and loved for the last 20 years?
Dude, I've been having the same thing because like I am just like a forgetful fucking prick at the best of times and like can't find things and stuff. And same thing's happening to me. I'll do something and be like, wonder if that was just me being me or my fucking CTE that got brought upon by the weekend.
Yeah, fucking oath. So I suppose we'll start there. Mate, got down to the GC on Friday. Jacko, we walked into one of the most fucked scenarios. First of all, we did a podcast with the Daily Blue News boys.
Yep.
Bluey and Gabe.
Got a parking ticket.
Yeah, got a parking ticket, which is great. Oh. First thing on the Gold Coast. That was worrying signs for the Geckos.
Not a good omen.
Yeah, omen.
Not a good omen. No, and we both said
no one
that.
No one wanted to think about it, but it wasn't a good omen.
We were just like, fuck, this doesn't bode well for the weekend. But yeah, that was a great pod. That one should be out soonish,
I think,
I believe.
They put it out as their bonus episode on their Patreon. I believe it's already out.
Okay, cool.
So check it out.
It was a great chat with the boys. They had a great win. We'll get
shout
to
out
that.
To the boys. Okay, we'll get to it. Yeah,
sorry. But we had to go to this press conference Friday over, so we just potted around for a couple of hours. My missus stayed with us and was really, really loving the day, just following us around doing fuck all.
Yeah, it was bring your girlfriend to work day.
To work day. She loved it. But we went to this press conference. We had to meet at the convention center down the Gold Coast, first of all, and we caught up with everyone, met a lot of the guys that we hadn't met before. I was a bit taken aback when I met Jarchi with his fucking cornrows.
Yeah, it was a very interesting
that rocked
haircut.
Me, that look.
Yeah.
But fuck, he looked deadly. Like he I was like, oh, deadly. Okay, he looks like a bit of a tough cunt, which I think is what he was going for.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all got put onto this bus. Like, we got to check out inside, which was just insane. Got put on this bus and went to this press conference, and it was fucking insane.
It was crazy. It was, I don't know what I was expecting, but not that. Like, I sort of was, but it was still sort of hard to picture in my head.
We rocked up to a local AFL field, and there was all the juniors still training out there at like 4:30.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, they have no fucking idea what's about to happen.
What's
there's like hundreds, almost close to 1,000 maybe. I don't know.
So hard to tell.
So
definitely
tell.
Hundreds.
Definitely hundreds of mainly Alpha Bloke supporters.
I
but there's a few
frothies. I
probably would
have picked the crowd there if I was there, I would say.
You probably would have actually. That would have been handy to have you there. Yeah.
Would have been fucking great.
I didn't think about that.
It would have been so good. But yeah, they're all just really pissed.
I thought when we were pulling up, I think it was Grope who was like, holy shit, there's kids playing like, Oz kick.
Yep.
And I was like, surely he's taking the piss. We pulled in, I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
these kids are in for something.
That was fucked.
I reckon the best chirp out of the whole fucking press conference was actually Jarchi to Groper. He started off, he's like, I just want to thank Groper for coming down. Usually he's not allowed within 300 metres of any children. And it was like, what else do you say to that? Like,
yeah, exactly. You can't exactly say you're not a pedo because then it's like, oh. It's like, why are you denying it so much, you fucking creep?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was great chat there. There was a lot of good chat thrown around. Our good mate Lukey got done pretty dirty by Michael from the Cast Patrol, which is quite funny. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think...
it was fucking cold there too.
Yeah, it was very cold.
Yeah.
I got my rig out because Tommy got his rig out.
Yeah,
so I thought,
the
fuck it.
That
might
was
as well.
That was a
had my cowboy hat as well. A lot of people were
actually
really hating on them.
I lied.
Was that a bad omen?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Gift from the cuck.
Yeah,
it's true.
There's a lot of things in hindsight you read into and it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And cowboy hat probably won.
I did say that Jarchi's call to Groper was the best on ground of the night, but actually my favourite was Buster when he introduced Klutzy. He introduced Klutzy as the bloated Lee Kernaghan.
Yeah.
His cowboy
that's
hat.
Tough. Yeah.
And I was like, that's pretty fucking
funny.
Yeah,
that was good. Well, I do have pipes on me occasionally.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
That
it's
was nice.
True,
yeah. But yeah, I think it was pretty much Friday. And then Saturday came around and...
Dude, I didn't think I was going to be able to sleep Friday and I couldn't keep my eyes open watching the footy.
Oh, fuck. I didn't get to bed till... You'll love this.
Yeah.
I didn't get to bed till like a bit after midnight because I was staying with all the boys and we had a couple of mates come around and I went out to get a drink before going to bed and ended up staying out there for about 40 minutes.
Fuck.
We were watching our mate Scott Ferguson's Padua 2011 first 15 highlights.
Respect.
And it was...
He's a very good footy player.
Yeah, he was so good then.
Yeah.
And now he aged like all of us and
like
regressed.
All of us. Yeah.
Even Jordan as well.
Jordan Walcott?
Yeah, my God.
Dude,
what
I played touch with him. He's a gun.
Oh, so good. Yeah. So, yeah, that was just great. Having all the boys just watching their high school football highlights on YouTube was fucking sensational. Loved that.
Did
but
I bring any of yours up?
What highlights? I've got one where I have one where I've got a blowout.
A blowout? What do you mean?
I'm calling a line out against... against St. Eddie's that I put it up as a clip and you can hear me go,
dude, I think Blair's mum might have made like a soccer video for when we played in grade 12.
Yeah.
And I think it's really bad. I remember getting played at like assembly after the last game of the season and it went for like way too long. It's one of those ones where you think it finished and it starts again and everyone in the assembly is like, oh, and you're like, oh, fuck, it can't be that bad, can it?
It kicks the ball from left to right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we... Yeah, then ended up at the casino to get a bus over to the convention center.
Friday night, I was like, holy shit.
No. Yeah. Saturday, all the nerves and shit.
Yeah.
When I got to the casino, I was sweet.
Dude, I had one of the greatest breakfasts I've ever had, and I probably wouldn't recommend it if you're going to partake in a boxing fight or any sort of particular sporting activity. I don't know why, but the creme brulee pancakes just caught my eye.
That's a crazy.
Oh, dude, they were massive. I couldn't even finish it. It was covered in custard and shit. It was fucking yum.
Very, very, very different approach.
As soon as I ate it, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have that.
That's fucked, because that's like, usually I'd go for something rogue like that.
Yeah.
I just did like a nice rarely, big brekkie just to keep me full for the day.
I very rarely go the sweet option, but I don't know what it was. So I just had that inkling.
Yeah.
And then I had the shittest fucking ham, cheese and tomato sandwich from that Food Works near where you stayed for lunch.
Oh, no.
Oh, horrendous. Stuff that. Yeah.
Horrendous. I didn't even have lunch. I didn't eat till...
What time do you have to get to the casino?
Like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, right. So I ate at 11. I didn't eat again till 2:30 in the morning because I just forgot.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got on this bus, and once we got on the bus, it was like, okay, this is sick. Got inside. The change room was massive. Started getting ready. Quinn the Chin went out first against the Loose Moose.
I reckon the loosest thing about the whole thing was like, we got peppered about being organized, like, who are your trainers? Who's walking you out? Blah, 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 blah. Had to send through all these names.
Yeah.
We had all of our trainers' tickets. We got a call from him being like, yeah, we're in the convention center. Like, already in there. Like, how the fuck did you even get in there?
Yeah, so scared.
So loose. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, but Quinn the Chin went on, and then he got the W. Das was next.
Yep.
Run us through, mate. How'd you...
Mate, I thought I was going to be way more nervous than I was. I think I was more nervous in like the 2 days leading up than on the actual day. Mm. And I've said it just before. I don't know if that was just like adrenaline or what.
Yeah.
But it was pretty gnarly. I tried to really... When you walked out up onto stage, it was pretty crazy. Like, you could sort of hear everyone but not see everyone because it was dark. And I was trying to like soak it in, but it was fucking hectic. And you know the thing that wigged me out the most?
Mm.
Obviously, it was on like stream. So the camera was like right in front of you walking backwards.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what do I do with my hands and shit? Like, it was fucking weird as.
It was fucking scared.
But it was so sick. And then, got in there and I just fucking got put to sleep essentially in the first round.
You're looking good.
Yeah.
He got you with like one combo where you sort of stumbled and then he went again and I was like, fuck.
Because I remember getting hit and my like everything spinning and nearly blacking out and being like, holy fuck. Like that. I must have been very close to being knocked out there. And then next thing I remember was being in the corner and the ref being like, you're okay to continue. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know how the fuck I got here. And I was like, what the fuck? And the ref's like, no, you're okay. And I was like, nah, fuck that. Like, I was back with it.
Yeah,
but I was like,
I
have no memory of getting here, so I do not wish to get punched in the head again. So I was like, no, fuck no. Get me out of here, cunt. And the biggest wig out for me was then we went back into that room. We walked out. Like where we warmed up and I had no idea where I was. Like I knew I was at the boxing at the Gold Coast, but the room which I'd spent all afternoon in looked completely fresh to me. Couldn't find the showers, walked around for so long. I reckon I asked four people, just down there, but I'm like, oh, fuck this. Didn't even have a shower.
When I knew Das was fucked, he was like, where am I staying? I was like, oh, you know, near the tennis court. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Burley? He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know who you're staying with? No.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I had no idea. Proper. And it slowly fucking came back to me.
Yeah.
But I still didn't feel myself like all night. And I had a massive headache, obviously, which sucks because I was so keen to fucking smash piss after, but I just didn't feel like it.
Fuck
I think I had six beers from when the fight ended till like probably midnight when I went to bed. The funniest thing was like all the boys like, oh, all the boys from the gym, like have a few, but just don't go on a 3 day bender.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah.
It wasn't like don't excessively for 24 hours. It was don't go on a bender. Tell you what though, like I don't think it's spoken about enough and Das deserves a lot of credit. I would not have done what I would be fucking shit scared to do what you did. Das gave up 15 kilos to this bloke.
Yeah.
Now, I also gave up a big weight advantage. Like, I was a lot heavier than Tommy, but Jace was 90 kilos of agility.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't fucking a big boy that was slow. He was quick as fuck, getting around that ring as well. He was, like, the perfect weight to be destructive and fucking agile. Like, it was pretty fucked.
Yeah, I think that the thing that I wouldn't say that I'm upset about, but like the probably thing I'm most disappointed in is just not being able to have like a proper crack. Like we fucking trained hard and like it's an amazing event, an amazing night, and I'm sort of kicking myself that I didn't get to experience it fully. And like even seeing Klutzy's fight, like obviously he didn't get the win, but like the fucking war and then afterwards like fucking celebrating and stuff like that. Like I just, and obviously Jace and I like had a beer after, but I was just not really fucking feeling it because I just had my lights punched out, which sucks. But like, yeah, I think as well, just the 16 weeks or however long it was in the lead up, getting fucking bashed, not being able to breathe properly, to go out there and have it finish like that, I'm like, oh, fuck. And it's no one's fault. Like, it's not, I'm not fucking holding it against anyone or whatever. But it's more just like, oh, a bit of a missed opportunity, I guess, is how I'm looking at it.
But my biggest takeaway watching the clip was like, I'd been told this guy you were fighting was small. And I'm like, looking at him, like,
so
this
guy,
this guy's big and athletic. And like, he looks like he knows how to fight. I was like, you've been stitched up.
Everyone's like, oh, he's not that big. He's not that big. He's like, oh, whatever. Cunt.
Even in the photo of you two after, I was like, oh, he's definitely bigger than I've been told.
Massive, bro.
He also, I heard today on the Reggie's podcast, he doesn't play lock. He plays prop.
There you go. League. Yeah. He's smaller than the bloke Klutzy fought. Sorry, the bloke I fought is bigger than the guy Klutzy fought.
Yeah, which is fuck. So there's obvious, it's very obvious why there's weight divisions in boxing, isn't it? Like, holy
fuck. Part of me wants to have another crack with someone who's my own weight, but then I'm also like, fuck, I put some nasal strips on last night and I breathed through my nose for the first time in like 8 weeks and it was pretty fucking good. So I don't know if I want to give that up anytime soon.
See, that's the thing. You have a from training with you, looking at you going against people that are the same size or only slightly bigger, like you do so fucking well against them. You may or may not have slept one of our friends in a... who ended up winning on his fight, Loki. So
I was going to say, what's the weight difference between you and Pookie?
Not much at all.
Basically
I don't
the
think.
Same.
Yeah. I'm a bit taller than him though. But anyway, it is what it is.
It is what it is, but...
Everyone's like, oh, why'd you accept the fights? Well, fucking said 100 times, can't didn't want to be the only one not to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like that's also, you got to give credit there as well. There's a lot of people that were asked to jump in and do the fights and stuff, and they were like, fuck that, why would we be part of something like that?
Yeah.
It's like, there's a much bigger picture to what it was. The whole point of it, as everyone has said, was to come together as a big podcasting community and show that we can put on a fucking show.
I reckon that helped with the nerves so much as well. Like everyone was together before the fights and stuff, like chatting, and no one was like, fuck you, I'm going to actually murder you in the ring. You know what I mean? There was no bad blood, which I think helped with the crowd. Like the amount of people who came up to me after the fight were like, well done, like good on you for getting in there. I didn't cop one negative bit of chat at all.
Good.
I got fucking knocked out in the first round. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Fuck. So, couple other fights as well. Probably one of my favorite fights to watch. I had to watch it from in the out the back, but the Blue, Daily Blue, and Almost a Man.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Bluey and Gabe have so much. And the other boys as well were fucking great, but Gabe was severely undersized compared to the Almost a Man fellas. And Bluey just has so much cunt.
Yeah, so like, much ticker.
So much ticker. I didn't really get to watch any of the other fights. I started...
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. I can't remember fucking any of the other fights, which is fucking annoying.
I started getting real, like, G'd up.
Yeah.
I just sort of... I legitimately turned into a different person.
Yeah. I knew you had it in you. A lot of people didn't.
And a lot of people... And that's what I was trying to say. Like, 99% of the time, I'm a pretty... happy-go-lucky, chill, jokey sort of guy. But my whole thing, and this is to everyone out there saying, like, fuck, look at the big fella. Like, it's running around in circles, like, running away from the fight and all that sort of shit. Like, I trained my fucking ring out for this, particularly after Vegas.
Yeah.
I might not have dropped kilos on the fucking scales, but I trimmed up a bit. And my whole thing was, I don't want to go out there when people have spent all this money, not just our supporters, but the Alpha Bloke supporters, Two Flogs, all the other podcast supporters, people buying it online. Yeah. I'm not going to go out there and look like a fucking idiot and not give them a bit of a show. And also, no one thinks that I've got cunt in me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show that I could be a bit of a prick.
Even the boys in the gym, I was trying to tell them. Yeah. I was trying to tell them. They didn't believe me.
Which is fucking sick.
A number of them came up to me and was like, I didn't know Klutzy had that in him. I was like, I've been fucking saying that for weeks. You just don't get to see it very often.
Hardman was like full fucking loving it. It was so good. He's like, fucking look at Clutterbean. About to hit him and become the Feminine Blokes podcast. Fuck you. Like, holy shit. Blokes. I was like, it's nice to have a guy like that in my corner.
Yeah, but eyes up.
Yeah, I got fucking G'd up. I genuinely blacked out, like, with rage or my... So, I don't know if my song was played or not.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
you walked out very fast, so I didn't get to the good bit.
Yeah, see,
you were racing through.
Yeah,
yeah, just because I didn't know.
You know what happened? I don't even know if I told you this. This happened in Klutzy's walkout. So one of our other friends, Lockie, who's done a bit of fighting and stuff, he and I were like out the front, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and like chat to Klutzy before he walks out, like be with him behind the thing. He's like, yeah, can I come? And he had we had these passes that essentially would just access all area and free piss for all of our mates. Yeah. So Lockie came with me and we're standing there and I was like, Klutzy walked out with the boys and I was like, oh, I'll go behind him. And I tried to like film it, but I fucked it up. And then Lockie and I like stood on stage. I was like, oh, I want to watch him walk out. And he like went down the stage and then all the boys sort of packed in behind him, which was funny as well. Like our mates, because they had like the Alpha Blokes chant going, our mates just giving the finger to the crowd and shit. Like, fucking funny as. And then anyway, Lockie and I are standing on stage. We've come from like, if you're facing the stage, we've come from the right. Klutzy's gone through the middle and we stayed there. And then we tried to walk across to the other side, to the left, to get off. But as we got there, it's just like a drop off. Like there's no steps. And I was like, oh fuck. And there's all speakers and shit in the way. I was like, fuck, we can't get down. So then we turned around to go back the other way. And Tommy Dahl's just standing there, like head down, just shaking, ready to walk out. And I was like, oh fuck, fuck, fuck. So then I'm standing right in the middle of the stage, just waiting for the fucking, his walkout to start. So Lockie and I had to go, we're literally just hiding behind the back, behind the curtains. And we waited so long because I was so scared that like we'd still be in the back of the fucking picture. So Lockie and I just stand there looking at each other for like fucking 4 minutes at the back, waiting for Tommy to walk out.
Fucked. But yeah, so did the walkout and everything. Apparently I've been described as crazy eyes. So
shit, yeah.
That's a new one. But yeah, it was fucking incredible. I copped a big boo, which I knew I'd cop, but it was fucking great. Like, the villain arc is a great arc to have. And then, yeah, we got in the ring. The only thing, I was watching back, and we went to touch gloves, and we were literally joking with one of our trainers the other day about it, where, like, he was saying, oh, yeah, like, when I first sparred here, I did a touch gloves, but that was the start of the other guy's double jab.
Mm.
So I fucking did that, touch gloves with Tommy, and then he just fucking jabbed me straight away. I was like, all right, we're fucking on. And, yeah, we went the whole distance. He was fucking great. Now, there's been a lot of our community standing up for me saying that I got robbed. We actually got told the rules for this fight because it was three rounds. Now, a standard boxing fight would be scored if you knock someone down 10-8, you win the round 10-8. But if you win with most punches, it's 10-9 or whatever. That's for like a standard 4 or 5 round fight. This one, because it was only 3 rounds, they scored every round as 10-9 if you won it.
Even if you got a knockdown.
Even if you got a knockdown.
Basically, the thinking was if you get knocked down in the first round, you essentially can't win because you're two round. You know what I mean? You got to make up two points, which you can't do. So that's why they did it.
So if there was no knockdown, it was most punches landed regardless of how the fight was controlled. So Tommy absolutely peppered my body in that first round. He just kept hitting me. Which is all scoring shots. So essentially it was we didn't knock each other down, so none of us won that way. So it was going to be whoever landed the most punches. Now, I sort of had in my mind, I was like, if I try and punch too much, I'm going to fucking gas out.
Yeah.
But also, if I can just block their shots, it should be sweet. And all I needed to do was land one. Couple of times I fucking got in pretty good and I was like, oh, I need to go forward here, but just didn't. But yeah, for anyone who's confused about that, Tommy clearly won the fight with the most punches landed. But I was pretty happy that I figured I controlled the center, which you'd sort of hope for when you're 50 kilos heavier.
It'd be pretty embarrassing.
That's the other thing. Like, he's a fucking madman and I could not have more respect for him. Like, to jump in there when you've got a 50 kilo weight disadvantage is so fucked. Like, why the fuck would you ever do that? Because, like, I've sort of come to learn, now that we've learned like the proper technique and shit like that to punch, I still can't do it properly.
Yeah.
But fuck, I can throw a good punch. Like, I literally broke someone's ribs.
Yeah.
So, I still can't believe he did it. And I've said to him, and we've been speaking a lot before and after this fight, like, it's just been such a privilege to be able to jump in there with him and do that. And I'm glad I did it against him, because he was always going to put up a fucking massive fight and train his ring out for it. But afterwards, there'd be no bad blood or anything. So we're already planning Magic Round Beers as we speak. So I'm keen as fuck for that. But
it's only like 3 weeks away as well.
Yeah, which will be great. So
2 weeks this weekend.
Fuck.
Fucking hell.
I'm so keen.
Yeah, I can't
wait. I realised, you know, fucking Vegas was like the 1st of March and today's the 1st of May.
Fuck.
Been 8 weeks since I've been maggot. And before that, I had 4 weeks of literally zero alcohol.
Fucking hell.
So apart from Vegas, it's been 3 months since I've been, and to be fair, Vegas was fucking pretty big.
Yeah, Vegas big, yeah.
Dude, I don't know if you saw this, but one of my my favorite memories from after the fight was Marty and Michael, obviously, who've been training in our gym one, and they came out the back, and Marty's had all these problems with his heart. He nearly pulled out of the fight because he's had all these heart problems. He got it sorted, and he's like obviously been training and gotten fit. But he came out and he was like, fucked. Like, he's like, oh, my heart, like, I can't fucking chill out, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And Dave's like, what's wrong with him? He's like, oh, just my heart. And he had this like tub with powder and he was putting in a drink. He's like, I'm just taking pre-workout. And everyone's like, what the fuck? He's like, no, I'm just joking. It's actually stuff to make my heart slow down. But literally in the moment, everyone was like, holy fuck, you psychopath.
Oh.
And then the other thing that happened was Klotzy and I are standing there, and I fucking gymmed in on this too, but I'm glad I did. Danny Green wanted to get a photo with Klutzy. And he's like, and then I jumped in. So it was the three of us. And I just assumed that, I can't remember who took the photo, but I just assumed they had Klutzy's phone. But Danny's in the middle and we pose for the photo. And then he walks away, grabs the phone and fucks off. It was his phone. That's he wanted to get a photo with Klutzy. Is so that not the sick. Craziest that fucking thing so ever? Sick.
Danny wants to come on and actually promote their next fight night.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be getting Danny Green on soon.
I was like, that's Danny Green just got a photo of Klutzy. Not that way around.
The fight I remember from my childhood, Green and Mundine was huge.
Exactly.
It's mate, it was good. Yeah, that was pretty fucking cool. And the thing, great thing about that, like, the Hello Sport boys did a great job with their commentary. They looked
they
great.
They gave you flowers for, like, they kind of went to town on the two of you beforehand.
Oh, I can't remember.
They so. Did. Probably they not. Did go to town. I saw them afterwards and Eddie said that was literally one of the most terrifying things he's ever seen, was me coming out and also me, like, I don't know, like, I genuinely got real fucking pissed off.
I love that.
And, like, yeah, Tommy Dahl said to me, he's like, one of the most terrifying things that I'll forever remember is looking over at you and you just had this look in your face and then your eyes rolled to the back of your head and then you just came at me. I was like, fuck, when did that happen? Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the Undertaker. But yeah, I was like, fuck, I didn't even know that
you
happened.
You stormed out to the ring.
Yeah, I was pumped, yeah, bro. I was fucking pumped. Dude, actually, like, re-watching some of the stuff that people have taken, like clips and shit like that. The way I was walking out, I was pissing myself, laughing at myself. Got the arms down by my side.
The Jeep shorts on.
Titties jiggling, yeah. Jeep shorts on.
Jeep shorts were hilarious.
Mate, it was so funny. One of the trainers, Dave, afterwards, he's like, if you ever do this again, you're not ever wearing those fucking shorts in that fucking ring again. I was like, nah, can't. Yes, I definitely am.
I did also laugh at, like, you guys, I saw some of you were wearing, like, runners, and I was like, I don't know what I thought you'd be wearing, but I, like, found it kind of funny.
Boxing
like,
shoes
someone
were
was in, like, New Balance. Were you in, someone was in
I was
New
in
Balance.
Asics.
Yeah, yeah, someone was in New Balance.
Yeah. But our thought process was, why the fuck are we spending $300 bucks on a pair of shoes we'll wear once for one?
Yeah, what do boxing shoes even look like? That was what I started
like
thinking.
Flat soled, like, they're high top laces the whole way.
Yeah. Right. They do look sick.
Fucking $90 on gloves, 130 something on headgear, fucking more than you care to know about on personal training.
Fucking expensive stuff.
I think we'll if you include your combination shit, we probably didn't even make money off the fight.
Yeah, we maybe broke even.
Yeah.
But
and I can't breathe.
Fucking glad we did it though.
Oh yeah.
Very glad we did
experience.
It. It's something that I never thought I'd do. I've always been scared of punching.
100% cunt.
It's such a fucked thing.
I still am scared of punching. Yeah. First, I'm fucking off at the ferries. One of the trainers goes, "You're going to keep it up, mate?" I was like, fuck off. Respectfully.
Yeah, I've said there's no fucking way, but you never know.
Yeah, I do. I would like to have another crack.
I think if I...
The problem is, where to from here? I don't want to go fight in a fucking warehouse in Deegan or something. You know what I mean? Sold out the fucking...
On a school night.
Entertainment center. Yeah, fucking
exactly.
Like, what are they going to do? Host us at Suncorp or some shit? Like, I doubt it.
I don't know. Fucking that cunt that sits over there, Sterling, keeps talking shit. Maybe we'll have to tag team him. Maybe we do a tag team against Off-Field Drama.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. That'd be a good matchup.
Fuck, I'll take Berkey.
Oh, fuck, I'm taking Berkey.
Well, if Sterling's punches or anything go by this morning, hopefully he doesn't train much and we'll be right.
Yeah. But no, it was an awesome event. Fucking
big shout out to the whole Alpha events.
And Cass, Larry. And Ben Dahl. And I know there's probably a lot of other people who are involved in the background that we have no fucking idea about. So I don't want to like forget anyone because we literally have no idea what went into it. But I can't imagine it was fucking simple, especially rounding up 20 idiots like us. It's just, it was unbelievable how well it was, like the production of it was and how smoothly it all ran as well.
Yep.
It was like.
I'll tell you what though, because I wouldn't want to fuck anything up if I had Cass Larry getting angry at
fuck
me.
No,
my God.
Yeah.
She's a fucking cyclone from Gladstone.
Yeah.
Whole cyclone cast. Getting her way and you are fucked.
You are dead,
she is one of the best people though.
Yeah, 100%.
Her and Beck, definitely. But yeah, the whole Alpha Events crew. And also, we did say they won, but I want to give a massive shout out to Marty and Michael as well. Yeah. We jumped on their pod the other week and also one of the funniest podcasts I've listened to.
Yeah, it's
just theirs in general. But we've been training with those boys. We pretty much get to the gym the same time as them every day that we've been since we got back from Vegas. We've done sparring with them. Watching those boys win, I was so fucking pumped.
Yep.
Like, it was one of the greatest feelings seeing them win. I think a lot of people wrote them off purely because you have a look at their videos that they put online and it's just completely fucked.
Buster introduced them as the two blokes who hit themselves in the dicks with cricket bats.
Yeah. So, and you know what? I didn't even think of that. I was like, these guys can cop punishment.
No, that's Buster said they hit themselves in the dicks with cricket bat for fun. And I brought it up after we're having beers with all of them and like their wives. And I think it was Michael's wives was like, trust me, it's not for fun.
So, massive shout out to those boys.
Get those boys on next week for a full debrief.
Yeah, not, fuck yeah.
We've just fucking rambled on about it for half an hour, but I'm sure there's fucking plenty more to cover off.
Fucking oath.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
All right, so I think we'll start with around the grounds. And I think the big news from today was, and I know, Klutz, you seem to have something to say about the Australian T20 squad named.
Oh, my God.
For the World Cup, which actually starts June 6th is the first game. So
holy
only a
shit.
Month away.
And, dude, the Olympics as well. I know. Sorry to fucking sidetrack.
Yeah,
but the Olympics is like
happening.
90
Origin's
days
only a few weeks away as well.
Fucking
like it's all
Magic round.
Up. Yeah, Magic round as we discussed. So,
am I correct? Is this World Cup, has it got cricket, this one?
The Olympics?
No. Yeah.
The Cricket World Cup?
I think they will play cricket there.
I could play rugby league.
I'll let Jack answer, but I think it's a yes. Yeah. Right,
thank you for the clarification. I'll go.
But it's in America and the Caribbean, which is funny.
The Olympics or the Cricket World Cup?
Cricket World Cup.
Sorry. Yep.
Which is funny. Apparently the pitches will be, I don't know. There seems to be a lot of talk that the IPL is a big, kind of quite more similar to the conditions than BBL.
I saw something the other day about the IPL that this season, like 8 of the top 10 runs, like top score, what's the word?
Totals.
Have come from this season, which is fucking
crazy. We've been talking about
shout out to Rhodes.
Like, the scores that have been winning IPL games used to be good 50 over scores, less than 20 years ago.
Yeah. Why would you be a bowler, eh?
Mate, Stark's been getting carted to all parts. But like, it was, there's games where it's like 280 to 260. That was a competitive 50 over match in like the mid 2000s. If not even more recently than that.
Like mid 2010s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're not striking it over 150, you are
dead.
Yeah. Like get off the field. Like kick your stumps over. You're done.
You're a fucking idiot.
But yeah, Klutz, what did you want to discuss?
Oh, mate.
I was curious to hear what you had to say first.
We're going back to the ex. We're going back to that ex with your toxic relationship, in my opinion, with this fucking squad.
I thought you meant Xavier Bartlett.
No, there is no ex. No, I'm a big fan of ex now. He's proved himself.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I think us saying
it. Just when you said ex, that's why.
No.
Thought you were talking about Xavier Savage.
No. Who is that guy? 32 tackles on debut. Anyway. Fucking, we've gone back once again to fucking Marcus Stoinis.
Yeah.
Mate, I know he's been scoring runs in IPL.
Didn't he not have a contract?
He didn't have a contract, and he has never, ever, he's scored one big innings, I think, for us in fucking
Australia. How do you not have a Cricket Australian contract but get picked in the World Cup side?
I think that it's a common practice because it's just like there's people that you'll fucking pay to.
So it just means he's not on a fucking retainer, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't get extra.
He's not a state deal anymore either. He's a freelancer. He's essentially a freelancer.
Yeah, so he'll just go play T20s and shit. Yeah.
Mate, I just think it's fucked that we've gone back to him when he's towards the back end of his career. Surely we've got someone else who's either also at the back end of the career who are more consistent performers or some young fucker who's going to come through.
Do we have someone that's more attractive, though?
Stephen Smith.
Okay. He is I know they love Stoinis as a finisher, and they trust him with the ball as well. And I think it's just a case of, I think they wanted Green to take over that spot, but he's just not
ready.
Played consistently enough. And also Green is more of a top four bat in T20 cricket. He's not like a come in from ball one
and
hit big. And the other thing with Stoinis is with the Australian top four, you have Warner, Head, Marsh, Maxwell, and then you have David as well in that top six.
Yeah.
All of them can go berserk when they need to.
Yeah.
You're kind of banking on Wade, in my opinion, and Stoinis to be your finishers, and then also have Stoinis to provide. He's actually bowled really well in T20 cricket the last few years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's the thinking. I agree. I think in an ideal world, he probably shouldn't be there anymore, but I think no one has stepped up as someone who can do that role. Also, Mitch Marsh can barely bowl half the time because his hamstring's always gone.
Yeah, true.
But that's why.
Also, I thought Matt Wade had fucking retired like four times in the last 5 years.
Yeah,
like,
that is funny. I actually really like Matt Wade, same thing as a finisher. Yeah. I trust him a lot more than Inglis.
Yeah.
And in T20s, I just think, you know, he's going to be batting seven. He probably won't have to do that much of a job with the bat, but him and Stoinis in the past in run chases have been quite valuable for us.
Give me a Matty Short instead of Stoinis.
Yeah, Matt Short's stiff to miss out, man.
Yeah,
I will
say
15 is not many for a squad.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Because that's your first choice 11 plus two bowlers plus an all-rounder and a keeper.
Keeper, yeah.
Also, I think our boy Spencer Johnson has been very hard done by to not get picked in the wider squad here.
It's just tough with the three. You got your three bowlers who are always going to be there. And then I think Ellis actually has earned that spot because I think I actually...
Doors behind you, bud.
Mate, I actually... There's a world before this IPL that I would have had Ellis in the first choice 11. Like, wow. I rate him really highly, and I think he's one of the only ones who actually... He's a specialist T20 bowler. He has all the variations. Like, he's a specialist death bowler, whereas Cummins, Stark and Hazelwood, none of them are really specialist death bowlers.
Or
whereas,
even T20 bowlers. They're just
exactly. They're just
guns.
Awesome bowlers.
Yeah.
But Ellis is one of those guys who has all the change-ups. He has a really good slower ball. He's a really good Yorker. And he's one of those guys you watch one of his death overs and he'll just put it five or six balls in a row, wide outside off stump that are hard to get away. And he's like really confident in that ball. And it's like, I actually quite value that skill set.
Croy, what did you bowl back in the day? Like pace or spin?
I've described my bowling before. It's James Hope's off the build of Zach Crawley.
Yeah, right. Because I picture you as someone who has a lot of change-up deliveries.
Mate, change-ups didn't exist when we played cricket.
No, like, I mean, like, I don't know. Used to bowl the wrong end of the flipper and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but in terms of like the way that pace bowlers bowl now versus 15 years ago, like Glenn McGrath didn't have 12 different balls in his...
You strike me as one of those fucking spinners who'd be like, if I tap my left shoe, that means no. It's a toppy, and mate, then every ball's the same.
Can you imagine if I was a spinner at my height? Like, I would
have been. You'd be like, who was that? Was it Suleiman Ben? The big guy from West Indies.
Yeah.
He used to be a pace bowler and then couldn't be fucked running in. So then just started bowling offies.
Yeah.
The other thing from this squad is, what sort of mysterious injury or weird injury will Glenn Maxwell get on the piss this time to have him out for
He must be
games.
A deviant.
I would love to have a fucking
I'm
beer with him.
I'm calling a dartboard incident. There we go.
Yeah, a dartboard incident.
Yeah, I can see that. Like you're getting a dart through your hand or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Or like a glass coffee table.
Yeah, potentially.
Something like that. Slipping outside through a glass coffee table.
Yeah.
I am also curious because it was a thing last time. Cam Green got in really good form just before the World Cup. And there was always talk of like how they're going to get Green in the squad. They can only get him in with injury. And then like a couple of days later, Josh Inglis blew his hand up on the golf course.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the hell? And coincidence. So this time, the one name everyone's kind of wanting to force in there is Fraser McGurk.
Yeah.
And it's like, will someone mysteriously have a weird, like can Josh Inglis volunteer again to blow his hand up on a golf
do his groin in the shower or something like that.
Something like that.
Fuck.
Stay tuned.
Very interesting.
Let's go. Golf course, darts, or what's one other thing? Or outside coffee table.
Yeah. Outside glass table, something like that.
That's tough though, because it insinuates like a cut, which is hard to fake. You know what I mean?
I'm going slipping in the pool area.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I like that a lot.
The groin slip. We're a shower, the Cam Munster.
Yeah, the Cam Munster.
Too hard.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that has happened this week is... The Paul Kent stuff.
Yeah.
Mm. My God. Now, he might have been copping shit from someone outside a pub, but, you know, journos never let up. When someone's giving shit to a sportsman and they react, the journo's like, well, he shouldn't have reacted like that. That's ridiculous. Fucking listen to your own words, you old cunt.
I can't remember
which podcast
it was. I saw a clip today where they were like, I was flicking through my Instagram and I saw this big frisbee hurl into a tree. And he's talking about Kenty. And I was like, that's so fucking funny.
The funniest part of all of it was when he got back up and he like jumped up and was like squaring up, but he didn't know where the guy had gone. So he's like turning, he's like doing a 360 squaring up. It was hilarious.
NRL 360.
Yeah.
360.
I got sent that the day after the fight and I was so confused. I was like, who is this? What's going on?
Yeah. My favorite thing was he had to take his watch off before he went charging in. But yeah, I just think it's great. And I think that journalists or people in the public eye should be fucking held to the same responsibility and accountability as what they fucking pepper the sportsman for doing. Mm. Because everyone makes mistakes, but you are a fucking dog shit cunt.
Jesus. To fucking sugarcoat it. Yeah. Mate.
There's no, like, fuck me. He goes off.
Doesn't miss.
You are dog shit. Oh, mate.
It just fucks me off
that, brother.
So much how these blokes are there. And you know what? I'm fucking becoming one of them now because I do a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah.
But I don't fucking care. Roast me for my dumb shit. You can't go out there and fucking attack the players all the time and say that they should be held to a different fucking level of accountability. Like, yes, they probably should be a lot better than what they are.
Yeah, but so should
you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the levels boys nailed it, which is, essentially what you said. You can't have the position you have and go on TV and say what you say and then be behaving like that. Also, Toddy's isn't even a pub. It's a fucking Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
But also, brother, particularly after all the other shit that, yes, he wasn't charged with that other stuff, but the fact that you have allegations of that sort of nature. Keep your head down and thumbs up. Simple.
Heads down, thumbs up.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Great games.
Just shit. But Paul Kent, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else from around the ground?
Interesting
this week?
To see what they do. I did enjoy in his absence they had James Graham on.
Went straight at Bulldog Richie.
Oh my god, Bulldog Richie, mate, one of the worst of all time. But like, I was glad it was James Graham because sometimes Gordy, God love him, can't articulate his point overly well. And when Bulldog Richie was trying to be like, they should ban the kickoff, James Graham was just like,
nope.
Lining him up and nailing him.
I fucking love James Graham.
Yeah, me too.
So much.
He does speak about it really well though because he's really well educated on concussion now, but he's also just like, I knew what I was doing
Yeah.
And like you sign up to play rugby league, yeah. you know what comes with it, but yeah. you do
and
it
also
anyway.
He's got the runs on the board, like the literal yeah. hit ups on the board. Like he's yeah. done it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fucking.
If anyone can talk about fucking kickoff returns, it's James Graham.
Yeah, he's one of the toughest cunts to ever play the game.
Fucking oath.
100% he is. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed that from James Graham. And yeah, who knows if when Paul Kent will be back, but I won't be holding my breath.
No, not I shan't be tuning in anyway. Either. Yeah, we have a friend who loves it.
Yeah, the friend who I believe you're talking about was like live tweeting through it the other night, and I was like,
"Nah, different friend, different friend." Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. Our mutual colleague was
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Tweeting about it, and I was like, "Are you actually just sitting down at home watching 360? Oh. Grim stuff."
I'd rather you tweet about your fantasy team.
But other news: JD sacked.
We kind of
said from pretty early on.
Nostradamus again.
I said in like round two, I was like, if they don't come out and play well against the Roosters, it's real danger signs. And they were horrific against the Roosters that night and never really got it back together.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for him in the case of, I don't know why they didn't just sack him before the bye. Like bizarre timing. And then to make him, he apparently wrote this huge proposal and then presented to the board and they made him wait all day, multiple meetings and stuff, and then sacked him 48 hours out from a game.
Fuck.
And he does, like Souths, they are playing poorly. They should be better, but he does have a crazy injury list right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you look at that team on paper, it's garbage.
Yeah.
And I just thought they handled it pretty poorly. But
where to from here?
Yeah. And as we spoke about a bit off air, if players are sending his text to journos within an hour of him sending that, like I think there's a bit going on at Souths.
Yeah, 100%.
And now someone, the COO stepped down.
Bad time to be a South supporter, that's for sure.
Fucking oath. Fucking oath.
Matty the water boy.
Yeah, fuck. I feel bad for Matty because he shouldn't be put through that.
That's what you get, though. You choose your fucking make your bed line it, brother.
Oh, but he doesn't deserve it.
We don't have control. We don't have control about our teams.
Matty Buxton does not deserve any of that, you know?
Support a fucking better team, brother.
Well, it's not his fault he's from the region.
True, but still.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't saying the same thing about you when the Broncos were fucking getting spoons and shit.
He was. I don't think he was. Yipping and yahooing.
Actually, no,
up here
I've seen him. I saw him last year when the Bunnies were beating Melbourne at Magic Round. And yeah, no, fuck you, Matty. That's all right. You deserve this.
Yeah, that's an NRL 180.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. It is. But there's a lot of things going on at South that probably. Impacting it.
We'll get to our tips later, but I'm going to tip them this week for the upset.
Mate, it's a myth. It's a myth the new coach bounced back.
They've got the Panthers too. I know. The last team you want.
But it's a classic thing where people are like, oh, new coach.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got an interim head coach coming in for the game
just
against Penrith.
Dust the fucking Panthers on a four-peat.
Yeah, fuck that.
It's tough. And they were not that bad against Melbourne and they got towed up.
Yeah.
Towed up on Friday night. What was it, Friday? No, Thursday night.
Yeah.
In their little sailor costumes.
Yeah.
It was grim stuff.
Oh, look like the Storm's away jersey. Yeah. Fuck me. That's crazy shit. One other thing that I want to bring up as well.
Yep.
Cam Munster playing his 200th game for Melbourne this week. They put up
I didn't know that.
What company he is in by playing 200 games for Melbourne. I was like, holy fuck.
Slater,
Smith, Kronk. The Bromwich brothers, Kronk. There was also
Matt Guy played 200, or maybe not.
Who? Sorry,
Matt Guy.
Yep, Matt Guy was one, and Will Chambers.
What about Ryan Hoffman?
Will Chambers was fucking good.
But I was like,
remember Will Chambers used to just not be playing good in the NRL, and they just put on an orange jersey and just
run his mouth.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, literally. Exactly what I was thinking.
Well, I named every single one of them. That's fucking awesome. You know what's crazy? You listen to that list of players, it just sort of shows how elite Cameron is. Yeah. There's no fucking plotter that's been around. Like, all of those guys at
you
one point in their
the
career
system.
Were the best at their position.
You don't stay in the Melbourne system if you're fucking just making up numbers. Can we talk for a split second about Munster's open air thing that he's doing? Have you seen that?
That is bizarre.
Great question. It's apparently hosted by Braith and Asta. There's DJs and shit, family friendly fun.
And he's guest speaking.
Yeah.
Is that Seabus?
I think so. Oh, it's very odd.
I
think it's sort of
like a Tom Brady
keynote
speech
type thing. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Jeez, I tell you what, Braith. What are you doing?
Yeah, maybe we should do
interesting movements from the player manager there, bro. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm. And I will say on Munster, I've had forgotten before this year just how good it is seeing that spine all play together.
Oh,
it's been
yeah.
over a year since they'd all played together, yeah. and the way they all work off each other is awesome.
So good.
And they're the three of them have that pod together. Hughes, Munster and Pappy. And they've got some funny banter. They were talking the other week because they're all quite close tries-wise for their NRL careers.
Yeah.
And Pappy had a 3-on-1 and threw it to the ref when Munster was next to him.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like, boys, we can't let this get between us. We actually need to start executing. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I haven't listened to the pod, but I've seen the clips.
Yeah,
mate, they're playing unreal. Jerome Hughes is playing the best he's played in years as well. He's so fucking good.
And I will say about the Storm, their pack on paper is not great, but they're making it work. I like the changes they made, putting Liero in the middle and like guys like Joe Chan.
Yeah.
The Tigers have another great year.
Yeah.
Like Sean Bloor. Like Sean Bloor. They're doing back to the old Storm roots where they just get the most out of guys who kind of came to them on not much.
Yeah. Yep. Classic.
Even classic. Mark Nichols spoke about it the other day on the pod.
He was in the Storm system for a bit.
He said he grew up.
The Raiders.
He grew up supporting the Storm and wanted to go down there. If you want to hear the chat, listen to Monday's pod. But I've heard it from multiple people before. He was like, it's not even that much of a difference maker, but essentially the players get in there and they're just given three jobs. And it's like, do those three jobs, and the other 16 boys do their three jobs.
Mm.
That will win us the ball game.
Yeah, he talks about how
focus on three things.
Yeah, he talked about how other coaches tried to coach him to be something that he wasn't, whereas at Melbourne it was like, this is who you are, this is what you do, that's all we need you to do, just focus on doing it. So that makes sense.
Coaching simple, right?
Yeah. Maybe you should get the job for Souths.
Fuck.
Turn him around.
Tell you what, I'll get some good culture amongst those cunts.
Oh, God, yeah. Get some good culture amongst those cunts.
Guys, get the fire pit out afterwards. It's Friday night. And get your cock out and let's see who can jump over it the best. Don't burn your gooch. Shout out to Shorey.
Anything else from around the ground?
One final thing. I'm going to give myself a plug here.
Yeah.
Making my Jeeps debut for this year.
Nice.
Tomorrow night.
Get down to Ashgrove to watch.
Or don't.
This is the biggest preseason Clutter Beans ever had.
Fucking oath it is.
You might score 10 tries, Gun. Can we get a prediction over under tries scored this year?
Well, I've already missed 4 games.
Yeah, but how many to go?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. The total amount for the year minus 4.
Thanks for that.
That's all right, man. I'm going to go an over under of 4.
Okay.
I haven't been too good with the tries recently.
No, body height, mate. Just remember body height.
Yeah, fuck. But actually, yeah, body height might be all right this year because I'm not fat and lazy. I'm fat, but just not lazy.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Thanks, guys.
All right, I've got a quick hypothetical for the boys. We dribbled on a bit about the boxing, but I still wanted to run it by him for this
Shock
week.
Me.
A question for you. If you could guarantee your side wins a premiership for the year, but you can't watch a single game of footy or any highlights or recapping, would you do it?
No.
Essentially, you don't get to experience it.
Yeah, you don't get to experience it.
Ever as well.
Can like, you rewatch it afterwards?
Never.
No, fuck. That's so shit. No, I don't think I could. Because like...
What's the point?
What's the point? The whole thrill of watching it is you don't know what's going
to
happen.
Also, imagine footy season and not being able to watch a single game or highlight of it.
You
and
would
have
be...
everyone else talk about it and shit. And your team, fuck, Melbourne's on the best run ever. It's like, yep, can't even watch it.
It's like, geez, I'd be more on the outer of our social circle than what I already am.
Yeah, what do I talk about?
Yeah, exactly.
This is the IPL.
Yeah, fuck. I did a fake draft in Madden this week. Jaden Daniels, not Drake May.
Jeeps is going really well.
Yeah. Fuck, Matt. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I think it'd be the most boring thing ever.
What about, Crow, if you're on your deathbed and the Raiders still haven't won one?
Yeah, well, by that point, it's like what I want is the Raiders to win a comp without me having to do anything, like sacrifice-wise. Yeah. And I want to experience it with my friends, all the ones who have, you know, struggled through it as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably why I wouldn't do that. And also, like so many people, if they don't know me that well, the one thing they do know about me is that I'm a massive Raiders fan. So if I see them and the Raiders are doing well, they'll be like, you know, how good are the Raiders going?
Yeah.
And so if I can't watch it, I'll just be like, fuck off. Like,
yeah.
So it'd just be miserable. And yeah, I don't want to have to make sacrifices to watch them win a comp.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that they necessarily won't win. Like, they might still win the comp if you don't take me up on it. But I thought it's just a way to guarantee your
premiership. Mate, if you look at how they're playing recently, then no fucking chance anytime soon.
Yeah, so. The Raiders did get fucking pants on the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, we got belted, man.
Yeah.
We got belted.
Who'd you play?
We played the Charlotte. Lost 40-0.
No, that was not good.
No, it was really bad.
How was Ricky afterwards?
He spoke pretty well. Like, he's just defensive of the young guys and stuff. But the thing for me at the moment is I don't think it's the young guys' fault they're getting belted. Like, I think a few of those guys need to pull their finger out a little bit.
What if you could watch the grand final? And only the grand final.
Probably. But I just, you know, when I dream of the Raiders winning a grand final, it's not me having made sacrifices in behind closed doors, you know.
Xavier Savage anyway. Just putting on clinics every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the
Sting. Also, I feel like watching a grand final when you're guaranteed a win wouldn't
be
great.
That's what take like the, what would make it so special is, you know, it's the thrill of winning when you didn't think you could and all that type of thing.
Yeah.
See, I love the narrative of it, like the build up. Like, it might be like, oh my God, like we were not going to make finals, but then we went on this fucking 9-week streak of winning games and had to win the last game to get into finals. And then we've beaten first and second. And now we're here.
You
won't
even be enjoying it because you know you win.
Yeah.
It's like the journey is always better than the destination, man.
It's very true. Very, very true.
That is very true. One thing as well, Crow, sorry, completely different to the hypothetical, but it is about you and your Raiders friends. Did you get called out in a pod recently about there was something?
The
crowd attendance?
Oh, yeah, my good friends, the NRL Boom Rookies. To be fair, I set myself up for that because I wrote in saying, shouldn't we appreciate greatness? Like, didn't we agree when Kobe passed away to appreciate greatness while we had it? about my crowd predicting.
Right.
And they kind of, they're the ones who are really into, like, I send it to them every week and they kind of tee off on me whenever I'm not right.
Do you hear from them when you are right?
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of them go to games, I get sent through the crowd figures as they come straight
through. I've got it here. May I play this?
It's from their Patreon, so I don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah.
That's okay. No dramas.
Yeah, I have to check with them.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I don't want to be revealing anything that's behind a paywall that is, you know.
No, definitely not.
That's dog ass.
Hard work there.
Yeah.
But essentially, all I remember from the chat was something about, like, if you threw it 10 metres over, like you still miss.
Yeah, so what the discussion there was I was, that was one of my worst weeks. I think I had a variance of like 13 or 14%.
Yep. Not good.
On a game-by-game basis. But for the entire round, the numbers worked out to be
almost
five people off the entire round's attendance.
Mm.
So I was saying, if I asked anyone like that you know to predict the entire attendance for a round, you wouldn't be able to get within five people. Like, that's
no
very,
way.
Very
I don't think I'd be able to get
to
within 5,000 people.
Yeah, but the thing is, because my main goal is to do game by game, the fact that I got them all wrong and then it fell towards being right, they were saying the operation was a success, but the patient died, essentially. Like, so, and I can't,
which I kind of get.
Yeah,
as
it's
well.
Fair from them. It is fair from them, but also,
like, they're alive. You've just sewn their head onto someone else's body.
Yeah, and I'm also saying I wouldn't make a big deal of it, but within five people is
huge.
Crazy.
Yeah,
and if you, if I just asked you to do that, no one would be able to.
Yeah,
do
with
it.
It's like saying you wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but they fell 400 meters out of an airplane and you managed to like keep them alive.
Exactly. Like, it's such a crazy circumstance that I was like, I'm gonna flex this.
Yeah, and I don't blame
you
at all.
I would too.
Yeah, I did get my best result of the season on the weekend, so I've been very happy with myself.
So stay tuned for the tipping segment.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, this is a big round. I've been talking to my mentors about it. And it's a tough one because there's weather around Sydney.
Oh, danger.
Let's rain all weekend.
Fuck.
And when it rains, it is very difficult to predict crowds.
No, it's going to rain because I'm going to the fucking beach for the weekend. Fucking lock that in.
Fucking oh.
Yeah,
which
every
beach?
Time. Yamba Pacific.
Lovely.
Hotel. I'm going to have... I have been so keen to smash piss for so long and I was disallowed that on Saturday night. So I'm going to fucking rip
the lid. Did
you
have a few
off.
Of the fins?
I didn't go to the fins.
I went to the fins with Dad.
Dude, I felt like I got hit by a steamroller on Sunday. Like,
close
worse two. Than Saturday.
Quite
yeah,
a couple.
Pretty much.
It was great. What do you think of the atmosphere?
At the fins?
Yeah.
I actually had... So, Dad's got members tickets right to the fins. And there's this family that goes every week, I believe. And the young fella... Fuck, I forgot his name. Had one of his English mates with him.
Wilfred, I think.
And the English
Joe
guy
Wilfred.
Was like...
Songer.
he's like, oh, you don't need a crowd announcer at England to get people to cheer for their team.
Yeah, oh, their Amos is so much better than ours.
So, which I like, I understand that over here that's not our thing, but you still get the occasional Broncos.
Yeah,
like, yeah. We are red chant. Anything like that.
Whose podcast did I see the other day? They were paying out the
Oh.
It would boil my piss if I wasn't.
Oh, man. Oh, Marty and Michael.
Oh, yeah, it was Marty and Michael.
It's fun when you're there as a neutral. When it's against your team, it is the shittest thing.
I can imagine.
And they don't show a replay for ages. They're just showing the crowd doing that. And all your friends are doing it and rubbing your head.
That's why I love doing it. Because I know
it's so good.
The best is if your team wins, though, you walk around doing it. Yeah, it's good stuff. But yeah, it's really annoying.
But yeah, no, the Atmos was a bit
last
off.
Year they did, yeah.
The Newcastle guys were fucking into it though. They had one corner, that young fella on debut.
Yeah.
Scored his try in front of his family.
That's dope.
Which was so
good.
How good
are rookie like debut tries?
And you know, I'm pretty sure he's a Queensland prospect.
There you go.
From my sources that were near me were telling me that. They were telling me that he scored 38 tries in like Western fucking rugby league.
You don't think you can score four?
Well, look at the. He's a professional fucking athlete.
It was actually Alex McKinnon who discovered him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he got signed pre-COVID and something happened and then
He also came from the clouds a bit to debut because the guy there. Main fullback backup is injured as well, so he's kind of come from nowhere a little bit. And it seemed like he had a good game. I didn't watch the game, but he was good, man.
He played very well. But yeah, the Atmos, not the best.
Yeah.
Until the last 5 minutes where the Finns tried to win the game.
Well, this is one of the things, as much as I do this crowd, the crowd guesses is a bit of a piss take. By doing it, I'm like noticing what's going on with crowds. Like as you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And Dolphins crowds are pretty bang average this year. Like
really?
Lower on last year. Like
it's always going to happen, right?
It's just interesting. And I thought, I know they've got a lot of outs, but they are still doing so well on field. I thought that would kind of eradicate
Especially
that.
Especially in
Brizzy. 18K on a Sunday is not great. They played the Titans in that same time slot last year. They got 21K. Yeah.
If the Bronx had a Sunday other game, you think they'd just about sell it out?
Well, they played Titans last year at 2 o'clock on a Sunday and got 41K.
Yeah. Titans, but still, like,
mate, Titans fans. I've also noticing this. Don't do nothing for crowds.
Yeah,
like, I thought because Cowboys had played Titans at home had 18K. I was like that. I assume Titans would get more than Panthers for it because it's a Queensland derby, that type of thing. Panthers had 21K at North Queensland last weekend.
Your recall is amazing as well.
Mate, the numbers are starting to stick. I'm scared.
I'm falling into it, dude.
Titans fans don't pull at away games at all.
Yeah. All live games. All right, let's get into the tipping.
Righto, Thursday we've got the Rabbitohs sitting in 17th against the third place Penrith Panthers at Accor Stadium. First off, crowd prediction. Have you got that for us?
So yeah, weather around. So all these crowd predictions, please, I'm going quite conservative. I'm factoring in that it will rain because last time it was my undoing. So I'm going with 10,000. Let me just find my notes. 10,986.
Yeah, it's very good.
At a core on a rainy Thursday night. That's a grim atmosphere.
And with a very, very struggling South Sydney team as well. I'm going to go the Panthers here.
I'll
get Panthers.
You two talked me out of tipping the Rabbits. I'll go the Panthers as well.
Yeah, nice.
Probably a smart play realistically, isn't it?
Nice. From there, we move to Four Pines Stadium at 6 p.m. for the Sea Eagles versus the Raiders on Friday, the 3rd of May. I'm going to go the Sea Eagles here. DCE. Keeps his clean record.
Mm. I quite enjoyed it. It seemed like he just went to the judiciary just to experience going to it because he'd never been to it before.
Good on him.
So apparently he was just strolling around laughing and stuff.
Tick it off.
Quite funny.
So good. Well, yeah, I think, well.
$4.45 for the Raiders seems fucking over. Man, but they did just get panned.
We've been dog shit. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Really, really bad. Also, we are, so I've got one of my buddies at NRLHQ to run some numbers for me. We concede in the red zone every 7 tackles, which is incredibly awful.
That's terrible.
And we have the second worst red zone attack in the league and second worst red zone defense.
How do you have people in NRLHQ and also the Raiders fucking...
Got some numbers run up for me and they're
Raiders
not good.
Rugby, the Raiders Leagues Club and the NRLHQ, I don't think there'd be anyone in Australia who would have people in both of those camps.
But yeah, I just said to him, because I said, mate, I honestly think watching us, we concede, if the other team doesn't make an error, I reckon on sets that they complete in our red zone, we concede more than 80% of the time. And it pretty much matches up.
When you get when you have those sort of moments when you realize something like that and then you fire off a message to basically get your suspicion confirmed or denied and the text comes through and you're right, do you just put your phone down and like eyes roll back a bit and just go, oh.
No, mate, it's all calm. It's just, I'm glad it matches what I'm saying.
Fucking hell.
Oh my God. Well, I'm not glad because it's terrible.
It's not painting a good picture.
It's terrible what I'm saying.
I'm tipping the Seagulls as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a wedding on Friday night, so I won't be able to watch.
That's probably good.
Yeah, somewhat good. But
who's getting married?
Good friend of Georgia and ours.
Congratulations to them.
Congratulations to the happy couple. Yep.
Agreed. 14,890. Seagulls have sold out every game they've had this season, but rain in a Friday 6 p.m. time slot.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm hedging that it'll either be if it's the weather holds up, it's 17. If it's really bad, maybe 11 or 10. So I'm kind of hedging either way.
Yeah. Nice.
I like it.
We move to Suncorp Stadium for the 8 o'clock game on Friday, Broncos versus Roosters. Ezra Mann returns against the team. Mm.
That was I feel like a fucking prick to him.
Mm. I think my tip of the week is going to be an Ezra double.
Ooh.
I'd love to see what an Ezra double's
I love that.
But I'm taking the Broncos in a landslide.
Full strength at home at the fourth.
Is that the first time this season?
I saw some bullshit today about how the Roosters are a bogey team and going to give us trouble and blah, blah, blah. Fuck off.
So Broncos by fuck off.
Our friend who's crazy, does crazy multis. Broncos 19 plus. Heard it here first. Broncos 19 plus, Ezra Mamp double. Let's see what it's paying on Blue Bet.
Tell you what I like about the Broncos is that They attacked. Like, you could watch that game against the Tigers and be like, they were so sloppy and wasteful with their opportunities and they scored 34 points.
Yep.
Like, if there's one game, I don't think it's going to be this weekend, but there's going to be a game this season where they
score 100 points.
Like 70 on a team.
They can score from literally everywhere as well on the field.
The try on half time, it was like the Tigers had the ball for 15 minutes, couldn't put a try on, and then the Broncos on half time put a chip in over the top and Walsh scores, and it's just like, this game is done. Like, unlucky boys.
That's just how we roll. Again, didn't get to see the game on the weekend.
The Broncos is. I'm as excited as a neutral could be for a team, really. Like, watching them play is as good as rugby league gets these
fucking
days.
Fucking insane. I'm just trying to see what this would be.
Someone said, I've got it right here, Josh. $21. You can get it boosted to $24.40. Nice. Broncos minus 18.5, and Ezra Mamp scored 2 tries. Someone today actually sent a thing through in the Only Froth chat. If you take every outsider in the NRL this weekend, the odds are like 37,000 to 1.
Yeah, geez.
On Blue Bet. And it's like 61 to 1. Well, last weekend
it was blowout city.
Yeah. I reckon all the favourites win this week. But yeah, anyway, I'm going Bronx. And I reckon there's going to be a shitload of people there.
Yeah, I'm going Bronx. And I'm going 41,035 people there. Like, I think it's a big crowd.
The boys are
going
to turn up.
Yeah.
How did Payne Haas play on the weekend?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes.
Too busy getting my head punched.
Super Saturday, the 4th of May. Bulldogs, Tigers at a core stadium in Sydney. What are we thinking?
I think the dogs are starting to click.
Yeah.
And I think this game would have got a really good crowd out at a call, but it is meant to be pouring all day.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So 13,903.
Yeah, I'm going to go the doggies here as well.
Yeah. I think the dogs looking sharp.
Fucking raining, but I'm going the doggies as well. My phone's wigging out.
Titan Storm.
Melbourne in a landslide, although this is a fucking bogey match for us.
Mm. See, it's... It feels like it is because you lost to them last year on the Gold Coast and there was that game at Suncourt where they beat you like 38-36. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
But apart from those two, you guys have like pumped them every other time.
Yeah, but it just seems like recently every game against them has been like, ooh.
Bit weird.
How's it go?
Ooh.
Oh, I was so impressed you did that perfectly.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I do it quite often.
Yeah.
Because I fuck up a lot.
How many people are going to be...
Titans crowd's been pretty consistent this year. Pretty much smack bang between 13 and 14.5. I'm going 13,895.
Okay.
There is a bit of weather around on the Gold Coast. A little bit.
Don't think the Storm will draw many in.
Oh, it's just the Titans. I'm just banking on what's been happening. Like Dolphins got the same.
Just banking off
I'm
numbers.
Just trusting the numbers. Data.
Yeah.
Trusting the numbers.
Data guy. It's fair enough. The fake Queensland Derby, the Cowboys versus the Dolphins at Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville, 7:35.
This is a tough one to fucking pick.
I'm going the Cowboys.
Because the Cowboys have been so inconsistent the last couple of weeks. They're channeling some like second half South Sydney Rabbitohs 2023 vibes at the moment.
Ooh, big call. You're going to talk me out of another tip here.
I don't know. Well, the Finns were not impressive the other day against the Knights.
Yeah, I didn't.
However, they got... who'd they get back this week? Connie.
And Felice is back as
and
well.
And Felice. Ooh. I think that's a massive boost to their forward pack.
Big boost. Isn't Lukey back for the Cows?
Yeah, he is. He's on the bench.
Fuck. I'm going to go the Finns for an upset.
They won their last year up at Queensland Country Bank Stadium.
Also, fuck Donnie.
I'm going to be with a Cowboys supporter on Saturday who I like a lot. So I'll go the Cowboys. Yeah, no, I said like a lot.
I will be going the Cowboys as well. I think the Cowboys remind me a little bit of the Raiders after their prelim run in 2016, where they had this dream run to the prelim, and then the year after, everyone thought they were going to be awesome. It didn't work out. But then the year after that, again, it was like, surely they find it. And they spend like 2 years just trying to find what clicked in that dream run. You just can't find it. And at some point, you have to be like, this team is not
it.
What it was. Where's it's just, this Bateman? Is them now. Yeah, you got your Luke Bateman still trotting around.
With anal fishes.
Fishes. 21,869.
Moving on to Sunday, the 5th of May, Rachel's birthday. The Knights versus the Wars in Newcastle.
Tough game to tip again because the Wars have been so underwhelming this year.
Hot and cold, haven't they?
Very hot and cold. The Knights did look good on the weekend.
How long's KP out for?
12 weeks.
Out.
This young fella's pretty decent though, but he could have a baptism by fire, like
Chev. Hard name to spell, Chevy. I remember typing it.
I'm going to go the Knights here in Newcastle.
Big.
I don't know why. This is a coin flip for me.
I can't go all favourites, so I'll do the same. Josh, Knights and Newcastle. I back you, brother.
Okay.
I'm going to be an all favourites merchant. I'm going to go the Wars. I love the Wars, so I really, really want them to work it out.
I too love the Wars. Yeah. I like the Knights too, though.
I don't love the Knights. So this game, like Knights at home at the moment is an easy 20 to 22K, pretty much lock it in. But once again, meant to pour all day in Newcastle, 14,495.
Okay.
And to round it out, Sharks, Dragons, fucking give me the Sharks, points but stadium.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll take the Sharkies.
Flano returns. Did you see he's already thrown out. He threw out some stuff in their presser last week.
Who's that, sorry?
Flano.
Oh, yeah. It was
a coaching press conference masterclass in terms of deflect from your team, just getting put 60 on them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they haven't really won anything since I've been there.
Yeah, it was good stuff. And so, yeah, I've got that game's already sold out, but it's also meant to rain. So I'm going 12-6-2-1, and I'm going Sharks in a canter. They've scored like 30-plus in four or five games in a row.
Sharks low-key good. They're flying under the radar
a little bit. To me, what they've always been, where they can run up a score on a bad team, but let's see what you can
like
do.
Like the Raiders.
Exactly, right now, yeah. So let's see what you can do against your Penriths, your Storms, your Warriors. Broncos. Like, I want to see you actually go into those teams and take it to them.
Yeah. When do the Bronx play the Sharks?
Nico's still a sleeper cell agent for the Melbourne Storm when they play each other.
Yeah.
It's great.
Maybe that's why Storm goes so well.
Sleeper cell agents.
They do have it coming. Oh, sorry. So they play the Storm week after this, and then they play the Roosters at Magic Round, and then they play the Panthers. So we will ask me again in 3 or 4 weeks, you know.
Okay.
And I'll give you my updated Sharks take. But at the moment, I'm very impressed by what I'm seeing, but I'm not giving them their flowers just yet.
They play the Broncos on the 8th of June, which I have a feeling potentially might be the Origin.
Interesting.
Origin might be either side of that.
Yeah, I think Origin might be the 6th.
I can check on here, brother.
Oh, hectic.
5th. Fuck, I'm good.
Yeah, nice. That was good.
Concussion, nice. No more. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back Monday, back to regular scheduling. Sorry about the bit of roundabout week. It was just a hectic weekend.
Fucking oath it was.
But yeah, if you're listening to this, we're recording the call show today, so get your fucking calls in. Get them in early.
Dog.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
Yes, it is. Darcy, I'm going to throw some things at you.
Okay.
Star Wars.
Sure.
Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
The Hobbit.
All things you enjoy.
Star Trek.
Not sure if you're a fan of that or not.
They're great journeys.
They are great
journeys. They are big journeys.
Yep.
We're about to embark on another one that's about to go with them.
In the history books.
In the history. It's magic round.
It is magic round. 2024.
It is. Now, all great journeys need to be fueled by something.
Fueled.
You know what we're going to be fueled by?
What are we going to be fueled by?
Domino's Pizza. Specifically the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before, but I'm actually genuinely not joking. When I talk about Klutzy being obsessed with the Philly cheesesteak pizza, the bloke would not fucking shut up about it when we tried it.
Exactly. Look, I know that this weekend is going to be an absolute journey.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know the only way I'm going to get through it is if I'm fueled correctly.
Yeah, smart so man. You're I'll an athlete.
Yeah, exactly, an athlete. And my athletic choice is going to be Domino's Pizza, specifically the Philly cheesesteak pizza.
Yeah.
It will be fueling me through Magic Round right to the bitter end.
And if you want to get fueled right to the bitter end, we recommend using the discount codes that are listed on our Instagram and in our Facebook group. The one we're bringing to you this week is BBB3DL, which will get you three pizzas and three sides delivered from $33.
Look, that is just perfect for your Magic Round.
That's like a pizza and a side for $11.
Wow.
Delivered.
Delivered.
That's obscene value.
It's basically making money.
Yep, it's magic. Once again. It's magic.
It is magic. Boom, it appears.
Yep, boom.
That's how good the delivery service is. So make it appear
this bloody weekend. Get some Domino's. And thank you to the guys for supporting the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.